Hey, good morning, everybody. March 9th of 2022. This is the monthly meeting of the Constable Ethics Standards and Training Board. Thank you, everybody, for joining this morning. We'll do roll call in just 1 second. As far as the meeting goes, briefly, I'm going to one matter I'm going to pull off the agenda is item L. That is the review of the rules. We're going to put that off to a future date. So we're going to start the meeting just slightly this morning. And members of the public, please be advised that the quorum of the board may be present either in person via teleconference. We do have a quorum this morning. Members of the public in attending the meeting may do so by appearing at 9 a.m. as we are here or over the Zoom. Please keep your phones on mute unless it is the time for the public speaking. You have been recognized. If that does happen, please go off of mute and talk. But outside of that, please keep your phones on mute so they interrupt the meeting at all. Okay, Ms. Unmock, roll call, please.
All right. For Constable Ethics Standard Training Board members, we have Chairman Dennis Dowling, Matt Giordano, Vice Chairman Constable Michael Hogard, Constable Kennedy, and Valerie Beckett. And we have a number of guests on the call. We have Constable Nathan Wallace, Deputy Constable Isaac, someone by the name of Jacob, Antonio Farrell, Perry Johnson, Melissa from the County Board of Supervisors Association, and Patrice Goodman. I believe that's everybody. And we have our investigators, Steve Jacobs, and I'm here, Tracy Unmock, the staff.
Thank you very much, Ms. Unmock. Item B on the agenda, is it anybody having announcements they would like to make? Okay, hearing none. Go to last month's meeting minutes. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes? I would hope, please, if you have, let me know if there's a motion to approve, if there are any corrections to discuss.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve meeting minutes.
Thank you, Constable Kennedy. Do we have a second?
Oh, hold on, I'll
second it.
Okay, and I couldn't quite, was that you, Ms. Beckett, that was talking?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay, you're quiet. Maybe it's my side on the volume. I'll tell you to see if I need to make an adjustment.
I'll do the same.
All right, thank you. So we do have the first from Ms. Kennedy. We'll go with Mr. Hogard for the second. All those in favor, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Thank you. Meetings are approved. I'll move on to item D, call to the public. So for the people who are joining today, this is the time for the public to make oral comments to the board. Note that we do not take written statements submitted to the board. We do not read those during the call to the public, and they are not made part of the record. Members of the board may not discuss items that are not already listed on the written agenda. Therefore, unless a comment relates only to an item already on that written agenda, pursuant to 38431.01H, the board's ability to act on that comment will be limited to directing staff to study, respond to any criticism, or scheduling the matter for further consideration and decision at a later date. Finally, please note that the total time allowed for public comments will be limited to 2 minutes so that this meeting can be conducted as scheduled. So I'm going to put it out there. Anybody in the public would like to speak today?
Perry Johnson would.
Okay. 1 second, Mr. Johnson. All right. So when you're ready, Mr. Johnson, you have 2 minutes. Please let us know what you have to say.
Okay. Well, I have a neighbor that has shot up my car and done $14,000 damage to it, threatened my life in a letter to my wife, thrown banana peels in my driveway every day for almost 2 years now. So that's like over 400 of them. I've got him on camera throwing the banana peels with pictures of his face and his truck. And I've had eyewitnesses besides me see him do it too. And I filed a harassment injunction, which when I went to court, the pro tem judge did not know the rules about those kind of things and required discovery and would not allow me to present my witnesses. And the court clerk had just told me that you could do that and without discovery. And so he dismissed the case. And then I got hit with $11,000 of attorney's fees of this neighbor. And so I refiled my harassment injunction. And on the second time, David Lester delayed serving it about 3 or 4 months. And then there was a person named Tony Martin involved, and they there was an email from a deputy Volts to Mr. Gervas, and Mr. Gervas said that the sheriff was trying to set up an appointment to serve him, but yet they never served him. And I found out verbally from the admin person in the constable's office that they decided they just didn't want to serve it because they felt that this person was innocent to all these things. And that is improper. And I've been subject to this person's harassment, threats on my life, and yet they make a personal decision not to put this in place.
Well, Mr. Johnson,
now I don't have
Mr. Johnson, let me interrupt you. Your 2 minutes is up, sir. Thank you for your comment today. Anybody
Thank
else
you.
In the public like to make a comment?
Am I heard? My name is Antonia Farrell.
Okay, Ms. Farrell, hold on 1 second. Let me get my stopwatch going again.
Sure.
Mine's all right.
Brief.
You can start when you're ready.
I'm here on behalf of Terry Johnson, and I can only attest to the fact that I've visually seen Mr. Gervas harass Mr. Johnson, and I don't know why this has been allowed to go on for so many years, but it has, and that's all I need to say.
Thank you, ma'am. We appreciate that. Anybody else in the public like to make comment this morning?
This is Nathan Wallace.
Constable Wallace, please go ahead.
You won't need your stopwatch.
Okay. It's going anyways, just in case.
I would just like to thank the board for the diligent job they do and the efforts that they put into what they do for us.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wallace. Those comments are appreciated. Anybody else in the public? Thank you. All right. Well, thank you very much. Let's move on to item E. Ms. Unmacht, if you could give us the financial report, please.
Okay. As you can see from the first page of your report that I circulated to the board, so far through, this is a January report, but there is a little bit of activity at the beginning of February. So into the first part of February, total revenue $271,661 roughly. That's an average monthly revenue through that period of time of $38,550. Which is $7,500 a month over what we had budgeted. So that'll come into play when we discuss the budget later. The second page are the monthly expenses, just to show you throughout the year so far what the totals have been per month. The third page is the detail of this latest period, the specific expenses that have been paid. That includes, administration, the postage printing, our investigator through January 8th, and we had two grant payments that were funded during that time period. If you go to the next page, the cash flow report, where we, that's all laid out as well, and then we also include our budget projections. If you look at the revenue section, because we have a partial month, February, March looks a little larger there, but with our budgeted amount, the in blue there, those are the projections, we'd have a annual revenue projection of $425,086. If you go to the expense section below, the month of March, I show a projection of $77,51. That includes some claims that have been submitted but not yet reflected in the January or February figures that show up in that cash flow report for admin and for the investigator through to 25. And then the monthly admin of 3,000. And then in the adjustment column is the remaining budget for the investigator budget for those claims that have not yet, everything through 225. I'm not saying this very well, I'm sorry, having a good morning. This is what is remaining in the budget after paying the investigator through 225. And then we have the travel budget, which we have not utilized at this point in time yet. And then under the aid to organizations, which is our grant program, in February, we have some claims for some grants that have been submitted in the totaling $39,456. And then we have in May, we have the final budgeted grant for organizational training. The grants that have not yet been claimed or paid, we still have 106,207 outstanding yet to be claimed and paid. And then we have the next line is just our operating postage, printing supplies, that kind of thing. And then we also will have another payment to Central Services Bureau for their services for providing our finance for us. Given all of those projections, then we would expect to end our cash balance of $676 and of change. And then the following pages, I include it for your information. The first one is the fiscal 23 grant summary, the amounts that are unpaid or awarded uncontracted yet. Those are our commitments based on what we've approved and the cycle that has not yet come up for approval. And then we still have a couple previous fiscal year outstandings based on their closure dates. The one in fiscal year 21, the board voted to extend that given some issues they had with getting that taken care of. And that's all I have unless anyone has any questions.
And we'll just put it out there one more time for any questions. And I'll just say thank you, Ms. Unlocked, for my part.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions, but I would make a motion to approve as presented.
Thank you. I almost said Vice Chair Giordano. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Giordano. Do we have a second?
Constable Hogarth, I'll second.
Constable Hogarth, thank you, sir. Any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor of approving, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, and anybody against, please vote in the negative. Thank you, Ms. Unlocked. The financial report has been approved. So then I think this is outside of our complaints. We did have the matter for the budget coming up today, which is item F, and that's presentation and preliminary discussions on the budget. And I was just as far as importance moving forward is what I was referring to previously. So we do have the proposed budget that Ms. Unlocked did provide to us. I once again hope everybody had a chance to review that. And as far as this goes, I think it's just proposed just to put it out there for any discussion to be had. Given that, just to give the board an update, I mentioned last month that I was going to be speaking to ACA President Scott Blake, as well as the past president, Ron Williams, regarding some ideas they had, some things that they want to do as far as training are concerned. I know they've had a lot of discussions with other entities trying to do a few things to make improvements as they see fit. From that discussion, what I gathered was they have a lot of great ideas, but I felt they had great ideas, but it'd be more appropriate that our part is just to have the grant cycles open to them and for them to present those ideas to the board through the grant process to get that approval. And it was the part that I do think that would affect us was perhaps having some additional funding, increasing the grant cycles, perhaps adding a grant cycle in some way that we may need to. So that may be something for just discussion as we make our budget for the next year. I did want to just take note, though, that we are carrying a balance much higher than we have in the past. I don't know what the appropriate amount everybody feels we should be carrying every year is, but we do have some funding there that I think we could move towards giving them the opportunity to present those to us and perhaps using those funds in a way for training that they see is beneficial towards them. Just watching that balance that we're carrying. Ms. Unlocked, what do we usually carry for a balance, say 3 or 4 years ago?
It's probably several hundred thousand less, maybe without looking. I'd have to dig in the back of my brain. It's gradually been creeping up. I think it was a little magnified. I believe it was fiscal year 22 where we had very few applications. There were two cycles that we had. One equipment grant and one outside training grant. We had absolutely no applications. So I think just the last several years has caused that to increase. The number of applications has kind of in general gone down a bit during my time here.
And just from my experience on it too, it seems like the organizational parts of it, the things the ACA does, those do get applied for and get used that benefit the entirety of the group. It's those individual ones where it seems like we don't get as many applications and that money doesn't get used. And that's why it's getting carried forward. But if that could get diverted towards training for large groups of people, I think it would be fantastic. One of the things that they're looking at trying to do is we talked about this previously too, was have a cycle available for people who are appointed midterm so that the Board of Supervisors would know that there is grant money there to get them funded and to get them the equipment they need in a very timely manner. And I think we've done a pretty good job of communicating that so far. We're just working a little harder on making sure that the supervisors know that they can purchase ahead of time and then ask for reimbursement later. But I think by having that cycle in place may give them that confidence, knowing that it is there, if that's how the grant cycle is structured. So a few things, my thoughts on the budget so far. I'm sure we're going to have plenty more in the future.
Chairman, if I may.
Yes, ma'am, please.
And one thing about, you know, if there is an interest in adding the grant cycles, it's very helpful as we work through this budget process to get that done prior to approving the budget. Less questions in the future. And also, we do have a requirement of a 6-week notification to the public in posting these. So we usually try to, if we can, and you can make changes to this throughout the year as long as you meet that 6-week advance notification. But if we can post our grant schedule at the beginning of the fiscal year, then that covers our requirement to notify the public or constituents that we have the funding available and what the deadlines are for those applications.
Definitely. And my intention is to take just to help make just a, I'll call it a proposal, but it's just sharing the thoughts. Here's the thoughts. Here's what I've heard from my conversations with them. And I just give it to the board so everybody can look at it and get their own thoughts and apply that to it. I don't want to just give out, hey, here's the budget that I think should be approved. I want to make sure everybody has a chance to look at the idea. And maybe there's parts that are liked, maybe there's parts that aren't, but we can work that out. But we can't do that in the meeting, in one meeting. We probably just need to share a little bit. I'll just put my thoughts out there. You can distribute that, Ms. Unlocked, for anybody to look at. And same for everybody else.
All right.
Any other discussion on the proposed grant? I'm sorry, the proposed budget? Okay. Item G, I almost went over that one. It's discussion and possible action on the management company contract. And I am still getting used to the Google Docs, Ms. Unlock, so I need to go back.
Well, there weren't any documents there. That's just, as I had mentioned or had told you, the contract is up at the end of May, and it is up for the 5-year where you have to put it out for bid. So it was on the agenda so that if you can take action to authorize someone, if you want to, if the board would like to authorize someone to just work with the procurement office on putting that out for bid and reviewing those bids to present to the board for approval.
Would anybody like to nominate themselves to work with the Department of Admin on this? Just so you guys, I think I was part of the last time when this happened. It's not too much of a commitment to mostly the Department of Admin. Staff is the one doing all the procurement things. There is some review to be done, and as they help us make sure that we're doing things correctly through that. So I can't do it this time. So I'm hoping somebody could take that spot and work through that for us.
Mr. Chairman, Constable Hogarth, I see that grin on your face. I'll go ahead and give it a whirl. I'll probably give you a call for some thoughts on it and everything, though.
Definitely. So is there anybody that does not want Constable Hogarth to do it?
I believe Constable Hogarth is a wonderful choice. And sir, if you need any help, I'll help you from Maricopa County.
Okay. Thank you. And Constable Hogarth, my grin was because I was going to, you were going to be the one that I was going to put out there for it if I didn't hear anybody say anything. So thank you. All right, guys, give me one second. Somehow I closed my my screen when I was looking at my documents. I need to find out how to get back to the Zoom meeting.
We see you.
There you are. Thank you. Okay, so Constable Hogarth, we'll talk, and I can walk you through a little bit of that process. It's not very extensive, and I can give you those contacts over at DOA.
Okay.
Okay. We do have H. Ms. Unlock, did Mr. Huerta, did he call in? Did he come?
I had a caller join us while we were talking, a 520 area code number. That doesn't happen to be Constable Huerta, does it?
Yeah, that's me.
Oh, good. You are here. Good.
Yes, I am.
Perfect, sir. Thank you for joining us today. So we do have item H, and that was the Santa Cruz Equipment Grant application. We did put it off to today because there were some questions on that.
So okay.
So Mr. Huerta, if you just want to just hang tight and listen good, and we'll see if we'll put this out there to the board for any discussion, and perhaps somebody's gonna come to you with a question.
All right, sounds good.
Okay, so I'm gonna put this out to the board. Any discussion or questions for Mr. Huerta on the radio grant? Well, I did have one, Mr. Huerta. The part of the grant that did stand out to me previously was the amount being requested. It seemed like a pretty high amount for a radio. Is that? Can you go into some detail as far as where you got that cost and if that cost is accurate?
Well, I got it through Motorola, and I initially reached out to the Sheriff's Department, and they were going to order it like a bundle because the Sheriff's Department down here is trying to upgrade their radio system, but it got shot down through the board. So they didn't approve it. So they're trying to get grants and stuff like that. But I mean, talking to the commander, he told me that they would probably try again next year, trying to get their, with the grants and stuff, trying to get all new radios for all their deputies. So when I reached out to the Yuma, person from Motorola who supplies their radios, they wouldn't give me a discount because I mean I'm just going as a solo, you know, apply for the grant, and that's why he said that the radios was, because I also thought it was outrageous the amount of money, but apparently, you know, it's this new and approved, and he says, you know, everything's going up, and he says, well, you know, that's what we got for you. So he's basically giving it to me at a regular cost, no discounts, no nothing.
And with the thing that the radio that you're requesting now, would that actually work on the system? You're going to be on the sheriff system, I'm assuming. The radio that you're requesting would work on the sheriff system, even though they didn't get their upgrade they were looking for?
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. You know, I did reach out to the sheriff and he said, yes, they would. Apparently it's, you know, they get better receptions, you know, because we are right at the border. And I mean, a lot of these deputies, you know, that's one of the reasons, you know, they're trying to get the radio grant for the sheriff's department because they're out there by the border and they lose reception all the time. So, you know, they're trying to, you know, upgrade their radio system and, yeah, apparently it's going to cost them a pretty dime.
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. May I ask a question?
Please, sir, do.
Constable Huerta, is it possible, even though Santa Cruz County was unable to upgrade their radios this year, is it possible for you to get onto their contract with Motorola to realize some of their contract discounts? Is that a possibility?
Well, they don't know if it's going to get approved. That's the thing, you know. And I applied for the grant this year. So in that sense, they wouldn't give me the discount. You know, if they had approved it, the sheriff's department was willing to order me a radio and then for me to reimburse them with, you know, with their discount and stuff like that. But, you know, for now, they're like, we don't know if we're going to get approved for our new radios. So they're still on the old system. And they don't have any extra radios to give me one. Because I did ask them if they had a radio, and they're like, yeah, we don't have any.
Anything else, Mr. Giordano?
No, I guess I'm just a little confused. Just because they didn't get their grant funding this year, I would still think that Santa Cruz has some kind of contractual agreement with Motorola for some kind of discounted pricing. But again, I don't know that specifically. So, yeah, I've got no further questions.
Okay. Anybody else have questions?
Constable Hogarth, the question I'd have is, through the state, is there a state procurement office that has information on radio systems or radios that through Motorola through the state? I don't know if there is. I'm just throwing it out there as a question. If any of you guys know whether they do,
I wouldn't know. Like I said, you know, I knew that the grant they told me, and they asked who doesn't have a radio. I raised my hand and they said, hey, there's a grant coming up. Reach out, see if they'll approve it through the sheriff's department. And I contacted the sheriff's department and they said, yeah, you know, we're trying to get our new radio system. You know, if we get approved, you know, we'll include you. But then, you know, they did not approve them. So then I just reached out to that Yuma Motorola company and I said, hey, could I get a quote, because the deadline's coming up quick. And that's what they quoted me as far as the radio. So, you know, I just went with that.
I'm going to go back to you on this. So, and I think we're thinking the same thing. So I just want to be clear. So even though the new one didn't get approved, well, they still have the old contract with the old equipment that there should be under contract with, in order for him, for Mr. Huerta to get something that would be functional now, even though it's not the what they're trying to get to, but it would be functional with what they have. Is that where you were going, Mr. Giordano?
Yeah, that is kind of where I was going. Is it, my experience, because I've bought these radios for different agencies I've worked for, is if you're upgrading technology, which sounds like the Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office wants to do, you're going to be on a different platform. So I just worry that if we approve this new radio, will it talk to the current system or will it have to wait till the new system comes online? So if that's the case, why would we not just approve the purchase of the old radios that Santa Cruz County is still using that we know works on the system, and maybe reevaluate an upgrade at such time that Santa Cruz County Sheriff's Office upgrades?
Thank you, sir. Yes, we were on the same page.
So in that sense, Motorola would program it on the old system. And when they get approved for the new system, he would come and reprogram my radio to the new system. That's what they told me.
Sir Constable Kennedy, would that be an extra fee to reprogram your old new phone?
No, that is included on there. I did ask that, and he said no. He said, because what they do is they would come down from Yuma, and then they would, because they're going to put new radios on their patrol units and the handhelds. So, you know, when that comes, they would just let me know that the gentleman from Yuma's here, and he would reprogram my radio to the new system.
At no cost.
At no cost.
So, question, did you go through your county's procurement to do this, or you reached out individually? Because a lot of times there's contracts, and with those contracts, there's discounts. That's the part I'm missing, sir.
Well, I did go through them, and I did, you know, through the Sheriff's Department, you know, like I stated earlier, you know, I was added to the radios, because I guess they get a better discount if they purchase more radios. But like I said, the board didn't approve them. So then I went on my own and I just asked for, you know, so I could apply for the grant. But basically they're saying, no, you got to, you know, it's not going to cover in my budget. I mean, so yeah.
Any further discussion, questions, or do we have a motion on Mr. Horch's grant?
And Constable Hogard, I still just wonder if would he get an individual going to Motorola to buy something? Yeah, you're going to pay retail for it, but I'm still wondering if the county contracted Motorola and said we need a radio for our constable. You know, if they're going to discount because it's going to the county instead of an individual, I guess that's my question.
Well, the question is, I mean, in regards to the radio, no, they wouldn't give me a discount and stuff like that. Like I said, cause I mean, I'm just a sole entity here with the county, and, I mean, I'm not part of the Sheriff's Department, but like I stated, you know, they're like, if they would have gotten approved, they would have gotten the big discount. But since it's just myself, I guess they got like some sort of POs system here down here. And yeah, they didn't approve me. I called them back and I asked them and they said, no, they wouldn't approve it.
I have a question. Is it different equipment, or is it the same equipment, new and old?
No, they're going to get all new equipment. The Sheriff's Department's going to get all new equipment, like I said. But I mean, if they program once they go to the new system, this radio, the old system would be obsolete. And like I said, this new radio, it's like the 8,000 or something like that. They would program the new radio to the old system. And once they get approved for the new radio system and they start, you know, programming the new radios, mine would go into the new system, get programmed.
And that answered my question. It had to do with if you were to get by the old one, would it be obsolete when they went to the new, if they go to the new?
That is correct. That is
but
correct.
If you get the new, it'll work with the old or the new, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, then that was then that answers my thought on that. So once again, I'll put it back there to the board. Any discussion, questions, or a motion for Mr. Huerta's grant? Okay, we'll do a second call. Is there any movement on Mr. Huerta's grant?
Mr. Chairman, this is Valerie Beckett. I would move to approve the request for Santa Cruz County.
Thank you, Ms. Beckett. So we have a first to approve the grant for Constable Huerta in Santa Cruz. Do we have a second?
Constable Hogard, I will go ahead and second.
Thank you, sir. We have a second from Constable Hogard. Any further discussion? Yes, Ms. Beckett.
I just believe that it is a safety issue, and we certainly can try to assist Santa Cruz County. I mean, I can reach out to Santa Cruz County and help with some of the procurement questions and possibly tying to a state contract. But at this given point, I believe our safety responsibility is the most critical. That's why I made the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Beckett. And I'll give comment prior to putting out there the vote. And I agree with Ms. Beckett. It is a safety issue, especially when people like Constable Hertz are out there fairly alone in most of their duties. Having that communication is very valuable. And knowing that the new will work with the old or the new, I don't think that we would be applying these funds in a frivolous way that would be redundant and cost the taxpayers money in the end. So any further discussion prior to going to vote?
And Mr. Chairman, this is Matt, if I may. I couldn't agree more with Ms. Beckett. I think there's some issues with the procurement process, but yeah, safety overrides the cost for me.
Thank you, sir. Everybody commented in the affirmative for that, but let's do a vote anyways. All those in favor. Oh, actually, we didn't get Ms. Mahogany's, but we'll get that on the vote here. All those in favor of approving, please say aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Okay, grant is approved. Thank you very much. And thank you, Constable Huerta, for taking your time today to be at the board meeting to get our questions answered to help us through that. I appreciate that.
No, thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Likewise. Bye-bye.
Hey.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, is Constable Huerta going to stay around for the training audit update?
He just dropped off.
Okay. Thank
you. I can get him back.
I just thought maybe he'd want an opportunity to explain his deficiency, but that's okay.
Okay. He had reached out this morning because he was having trouble connecting. So I didn't even know. I didn't have his number until just now when I received that text this morning. So item I, we have the ongoing complaints involving the complainant, Mr. Bill Rucker, and the constables Perkins and former Constable Clark. Once again, we haven't completed that investigation yet. So I'm just giving the board the update that we don't have anything to talk about on that today. We'll keep that on the agenda until we do have a resolution on it. Okay, item J, discussion and possible action on complaints. The first one we have is CNA 325-2023. The complainant is Ms. Adrian Pineda, and the constable in question is Constable Ramson Isaac. So thank you, Ms. Unmocked, and thank you, Investigator Perkins, for getting all that ready for us to help us get through that this morning. So given that, is there any action the board would like to take on this matter? Any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. I don't believe there's any action we need to take at this board. I'd recommend that we close this investigation.
Okay, so we do have a motion to dismiss this matter from Mr. Giordano. Do we have a second?
Constable Kennedy, second.
Okay, thank you, Constable Kennedy. Any discussion from the board prior to taking vote on this? And I after reading it and go and seeing the full investigation from Mr. Perkins, thank you very much. You gave a very clear picture there. And it's outside of what the complaint was, but I would have to commend the agencies involved on that one just for their timeliness on responding. to having the writ and getting it served, and also the doing what they needed to do to accomplish that in a respectful way. So given that, I'll put it out to vote. Anybody else have any comments on that? Okay, all those in favor of the dismissal, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
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 Anybody not in favor of the dismissal, please vote in the negative.
I didn't get to vote from Constable Kennedy.
Oh.
Aye.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Constable Kennedy. Thank you for
working fast.
Thank you for watching the screen, Miss Unmo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The matter is dismissed. So we have four new complaints to go over today. The first one we have is CNA 331-2023. Rebecca Dowdy is the complainant. Constable Oscar Vasquez is the constable in question. So I'll put it out there to the board for any action to be taken on this matter.
Constable Hogarth, if I read this correctly, the plaintiff on this, everything's kind of been answered, hasn't it? That everything is okay. I thought that I read something in all the responses that in the emails going back and forth that it had been taken care of.
And I read the same, sir. It's just that it's on the agenda. It did make the agenda because the complaint was filed.
Then I would make a motion to have it to just dismiss.
Okay. And so we have one person who doesn't want to move this forward. Is there anybody on the board who does want to move this matter forward? Should I, Ms. Unmuck, do you want to do a roll call since it is a complaint?
Certainly.
The question is, do you want to move this matter forward?
Okay. Chairman Dowling?
No.
Abstain?
Yes.
No. Okay. Constable Hogard says no. Constable Kennedy?
No.
And Mr. Giordano?
No.
And Ms. Beckett?
No.
Okay. It's unanimous to dismiss this complaint.
Okay. The second matter we have is CNA 332-2023. Complaint in the matter is Terry Johnson. Constable in question is Mr. David Lester. So once again, I'm going to put it out there to the board. We can do a roll call. Is there anybody that wants to have any discussion or let it be known that they do want to move this forward now?
Mr. Chair, this is Matt. I would like to move this forward. And if Mr. Johnson's still on the phone, I read his complaint. He, in his 2-minute public comment, he included a lot of additional information. I would encourage him to provide that additional information to us in writing, and then we can give the constable an opportunity to respond.
Thank you, sir.
Terry Johnson is still present.
Well, Terry Johnson doesn't have the floor, sir, so if you can stay on mute, please. So given that, so we do have, Mr. John, moving to set this forward, we'll set it to investigation. Ms. Unmuck, do you want to do a roll call to get the entirety of the board's feelings on that?
Certainly. Chairman Dowling?
Abstain.
Constable Hogard?
Move it forward.
Constable Kennedy?
Yes.
Yes, move it forward. And Ms. Beckett?
Aye.
And Mr. Giordano voted to move it forward. So that's unanimous.
So we will move this forward into the investigative process. So Mr. Jacobs, I think I called you Mr. Perkins earlier. My apologies if I did that.
Twice.
Mr. Chairman, he's been called worse. But Ms. Amma, could you just, I think just for the sake of expediency, could you explain to Mr. Johnson, I know he's listening, he doesn't have the floor, he can't talk, but would you explain to him the process of getting us additional information?
Yes, Mr. Johnson can submit additional information regarding this through the email address that I corresponded with him to notify him of this meeting. If he can send in writing the information he provided today in his public comment, any other relevant information. And then once we have that, we will forward that in total to the constable. They are entitled to 45 days to respond to that.
Yeah. Perfect. Ma'am. Thank you. No, I appreciate that. I was going to say all those same things here right after that, but thank you. And also, too, just to point out, to any delay in getting that information over is a delay giving the constable more time to respond. So that was the point that Mr. Giordano was making as far as expediency is concerned on that. So thank you very much. So CNA 333-2023, Joanna Moyer versus Roger Curtis. Once again, same procedure here. Anybody on the board want to move that forward? Or any discussion?
I'd like to move this forward, see what the constable has to say.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else want to put any discussion of that before we give that to Ms. Unmock to ask everybody how they feel? All right, well, given that, Ms. Unmock, if you could please, and the question is, who wants to move this forward?
Okay, Chairman Dowling, are you abstaining?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Giordano?
Yes, I'd like to move it forward.
Constable Kennedy?
Yes, ma'am.
And Ms. Beckett?
Yes.
And Constable Hogarth made the motion to move it forward, so that is unanimous.
Thank you, Ms. Unmock. We have CNA 334-2023, William Rucker versus Deputy Constable Ron Myers. Once again, any discussion, or does anybody want to move this forward without discussion?
Constable Hogard, this is the information I appreciate from our investigator. This was very helpful. But looking at everything, this is a lot of stuff going back years. And I would just ask to be this be just dismissed.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody who wants to move this forward? Okay. Hearing none, let's put this out there to Ms. Unmocked, if we could go ahead and get a tally.
Okay, Chairman Dowling, are you abstaining?
Yes, ma'am.
Constable Kennedy?
No, ma'am.
That's no to move it forward?
Correct, yes, ma'am.
Okay, all right. And Mr. Giordano?
I approve closing this.
And Ms. Beckett?
Agreed, please close.
Okay. It's unanimous to dismiss this complaint.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Unmocked. Okay, and I'm going to put item K over to you, Ms. Unmocked, as far as any training deficiencies are concerned.
Okay, as I reported last month, there were I reported the number of constables that had not met their training requirements in 2022, and the board wanted further information on several of them. And I did submit a report to the board for their review prior to the meeting. Constable Byron Rimes had only submitted 4 hours of training. And there was a question about when he was appointed. I confirmed with Patrice Goodman that he was appointed to his position in 2021, which would make it a requirement that he complete all 16 hours. On February 14th, I received additional training certificates for the constable, but the training took place back in between March and September. That did bring him into compliance as far as the number of hours. However, they were past the 30-day requirement to submit them. And further, we did send two courtesy letters out in the fall, October and November, reminding Constable Rimes that he needed to submit additional hours for his training. He did not submit those certificates at that time. And I did request why that was the case, and I did not receive any kind of follow-up on that. So he conducted the training, he just didn't submit the certificates even after we made several requests.
Who was your question that didn't get responded to? Did you give it to
Ms.
him
Goodman,
or
Ms. Patrice Goodman? We had email exchanges when she sent me the certificates via email. I emailed back and asked why he had not submitted them prior to this, and I did not get a response back on that one.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious why somebody wouldn't respond to you, Ms. Unmocked. Thank you. All right, but he is in compliance. So thank you for thank you for doing the work that they should have done for you ahead of time in order to know that he is in compliance. I do appreciate you going above and beyond, Ms. Unmock, to cover somebody else's responsibility on that.
Well, and the compliance would be the question is because he actually did not submit them within the 30 days. So I don't know if that's an issue the board wants to take up. The board certainly can take that up because they were not submitted in a timely manner. Anyway, that's why I did include that in my report, because the requirement is the 30-day turnaround time for submitting those certificates.
Before we move on to the next, anybody want to take anything on that or just feel that is sufficient where we're at with Mr. Rimes?
Mr. Chair, this is Matt. If I may, I'm with you. I'm just perplexed when people don't respond to requests like that or even provide an explanation when asked to do so. I think it's well within our purview to issue a written reprimand and encourage them to follow procedures in the future. But I would accept the training records saying that he met his requirement for 2022, but I just hope he'll be better in 2023.
You know, I'll just take that as a possible agenda item, just so that they, as far as Ms. Unmock, if we go through our procedure and making a complaint regarding that before we decide what to do with that, like Mr. Jordan was saying, I'm in agreement with him though. But I just for procedure wise, we'll revisit that one in the future.
If I may, Chairman, the way that the agenda item is listed is that you could take action on the deficiency. So it would be appropriate the way the agenda was written, if you so choose to proceed with a complaint if you wanted to, or it could be tabled, whichever your preference. But the way that it was presented on the agenda, the board is able to take some action at this time.
Yeah, but we'll table it. Perhaps we'll get perhaps we're just delayed in getting us an explanation, and maybe we'll get that before we have to put that on the agenda.
All right. Would you like me to move to the next one?
Please, ma'am, do.
Okay. The next person was Coconino County. At the time, Deputy Constable Danny Thomas, but I understand he is now constable, no longer a deputy constable. But as I reported at the last meeting, he had only completed 10 hours of training. And upon notification, I received an email from Linda Kaczynski, and she sent me some additional certificates and indicated, and I did include copies in the meeting package of what she sent. Those, he did complete the training in 2022 appropriately, but it was her responsibility. She took responsibility for sending the certificates, but because of the letter that the county received from AZ Post about the change in procedures, she misunderstood, thinking she did not need to submit those certificates for Constable Thomas to the CESTB. So he completed the training in a timely manner. They just didn't send the certificates in because they didn't think they needed to send them to us. They thought they just needed to keep them on file there. So that's the story with Constable Danny Thomas.
Thank you, Ms. Unmock. But overall, he's in compliance, correct?
Yes.
Anything for the board on Mr. Thomas? Okay, it sounds like we don't have anything to move forward on there. He is in compliance. Next one, Ms. Unmock.
All right, the next two were Pima County Constables Esther Gonzalez and Jose Gonzalez, who did not receive, did not complete any hours of training or did not submit proof of training. I had contacted prior to our meeting last month, Pima County. I'd sent several requests to determine if they indeed were still constables. And I had not received any response on that. After following our meeting last February, I did get a confirmation from ACA President Scott Blake that both of those constables resigned sometime in 2022. Because they're no longer constables, there really isn't any action to take on those two.
All right. Thank you. And I know that you provided all this to us, Ms. Unmock, just making the record for each of these matters.
And then the next one, Santa Cruz Constable Ed Huerta, he submitted just 15.5.
Hold on one second, Ms. Unmocked. Who was, who just spoke? I heard somebody speak.
I'm sorry.
I guess I didn't. I must be hearing things. Ms. Unmocked, go ahead.
Yes, the next one, Santa Cruz Constable Ed Huerta, he had submitted 15.5 hours. He had submitted a duplicate certificate, and I probably was under the impression that he submitted the number of hours, but one was a duplicate, so it ended up being 15.5 hours.
And 16 hours is the statutory requirement, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so we do have Mr. Huerta back on. If the board has any questions for Mr. Huerta, he is available. Hearing no question, is the board, would they like to make any motions to take action regarding the deficiency for hours for Mr. Huerta?
Mr. Chairman, this is Matt. What have we done in the past with consuls that fail to meet their statutory requirements?
Thank you. Ms. Unmock, would you like to provide that answer for us?
Yes, on occasion we have initiated a complaint and issued warning letters, admonishment letters, depending on the situation, depending on the history for the constable. In the past, some constables were consistently delinquent or short on their hours. So the severity of the discipline varied, but that's the procedure that has been followed in the past, usually a letter of warning or admonishment.
But the first thing you would do is initiate the complaint, correct? For the, yes. For the next meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Unmock. Your historical knowledge is always valuable to all of us. So given that, is anybody on the board, we might be required to even to initiate the complaint against Constable Huerta for not meeting his training requirement?
Mr. Chair, this is Matt. I don't see how we couldn't. So I it sounds like it was just a slight minor clerical error on his part, submitting duplicate training where he thought he had more than 16 hours. I say we do open the complaint, but again, I don't think this is the end of the world. It sounds like a very minor infraction.
And perhaps there's some other error too, and this would, by having the complaint, would give him a chance to respond and make any clarifications necessary in case, you know, maybe it was the wrong document that was sent. If that was the instance there. And actually, I need to ask a procedural of you, Ms. Longnock. So by us initiating the complaint, we don't need to put it on the next agenda necessarily. We could just send it out now and the 45 days would start today. Would that be, correct, the day we send the letter, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for helping me piece that together, Ms. Unmock. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't believe we have a choice either as far as the complaint goes, Mr. Giordano, but given that, Ms. Unmock, would you please do a roll call on initiating the complaint with Constable Huerta?
Yes. Chairman, you abstaining?
Yes, ma'am.
Constable Hogard?
Aye.
Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Mr. Giordano?
Aye.
And Valerie Beckett?
Aye.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, and I don't have that for me, Ms. Unmock. Was that the last one?
There was one more. It's a very similar situation. Pinal County Constable Mel Osgood, following our courtesy letter letting him know that he didn't have any training in November. He did submit certificates, but they only came in total of 15.25 hours. So just 45 minutes shy of the statutory requirement.
And I'm not familiar with that name. Did you get any information on his, whether he was appointed midterm or when his appointment happened and whatnot?
He's been a constable for, I don't know for sure how many years, but he's been a constable for some time.
Okay, so it wasn't mid-year last year.
Correct.
Mr. Chair, Constable Hogarth, I think we're in the same boat with this one as the last one. I think we'd have to move it forward with the complaint.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And Ms. Unmuck, just for the record, if you could roll call, please.
Okay. The chairman, assuming abstains. Constable Kennedy?
Aye.
Mr. Giordano?
Aye.
And Ms. Beckett?
Aye.
And Mr. Constable Hogarth initiated the complaint, so that's unanimous.
Thank you. Okay. Item M, update, Ms. Unmuck.
Okay. Which one are we on here?
Admin update.
Oh, we're tabling out. Oh. I'm sorry. We're tabling out, correct?
L has been tabled, yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, I will be brief. I've had several public records requests that I had to work on, a number of redactions, and just finished that up, I believe, yesterday. And then I have just a couple of the many, many surveys that are required. We have a risk management survey and a number of financial procedure surveys through the Department of Administration, and I'm almost complete with those. So that's what I've been working on and will be finishing up. That's all I have, unless anyone has any questions for me.
One more time, any questions for Ms. Unmuck? Okay. Item N, anybody have anything they would like to see on the future agenda? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to, adjournment.
Nobody wants to adjourn. Everybody likes our smiling faces. I make a motion we adjourn.
Well, you're the man with all the knives, so I'm going to agree with you.
Constable, any second.
All right, second from Constable Kennedy. All those in favor, please vote in the affirmative.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody against? Anything else to take up? Vote in the negative. All right, everybody. Hey, thank you for the meeting today. We will see everybody again 1 month from now. I don't have the date in front of me, but we'll see everybody in 1 month. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.